Good morning. Before we jump into the message, there's a couple things I wanted to share with you. Mike mentioned it in the announcements, but I just wanted to reiterate, I'm really excited about next Sunday and our volunteer fair that we're having. It's not something we've ever done before. It was an idea of one of our nominating team members this year. And what I wanted to point out was two things. Number one, we're still having brunch. So if you want to just come have brunch, you can do that. You don't have to sign up to volunteer for something if you come for brunch. The second thing I want to let you know is part of the goal of this is to show the variety of places where you can plug in and help at the church. Everything from teaching Sunday school, watching kids in the nursery, to helping with technology and our things that we put up on the screen on Sundays, or maintenance and grounds. So there's just a wide variety of places where you could plug in and volunteer and help out. And that's what we want to showcase next week. So that's our normal brunch time, 9:45 to 10:45. The other thing I wanted to bring up is that next Sunday is also our evening service. We have our evening service on the first Sunday of the month at 6 o'clock. It's an opportunity if you have trouble making it to early service for one reason or another. I know a lot of your jobs don't respect Sunday mornings. And so that gives you a chance to come into an evening service, and it also gives you a chance to hear someone else speak and someone else lead worship. We've had guests each time leading worship and speaking, and so that's going on next Sunday as well. Now, I am fully aware that the Super Bowl is next Sunday. I know that. I'm not completely detached from the world, but I also know that the Broncos did not make it to the Super Bowl this year. I am planning on being here for both services and the brunch and watching the Super Bowl and coming back for church in the evening. So I know you can do it if you really desire to. The second thing I wanted to bring up, and this is a little hard, I'm going to be completely honest with you this morning. I'm having a little bit of struggles with my silent migraines, complex migraines, whatever they call them. So if for some reason in the middle of the sermon I just stop talking for 20 or 30 minutes, no, 20 or 30 seconds, just hang in there with me. I will be back, okay? I will be back. With that being said, let's jump into our message for today. If you want to go ahead and turn in your Bible, we're in John chapter 16 this week. But I want to begin by saying that there are certain things in life that you do not understand unless you've experienced them. I think a good example of that is skydiving. When I was young, I was really into skydiving. I would read about it. I watched documentaries about it. I even called different skydiving places in the area to find out how much it would cost to take skydiving lessons. I learned all kinds of things about skydiving, but you know what I never did? I never went skydiving. And I would argue that I really know nothing about skydiving. That's one of those things that you have to do it. If you're going to say that I know about this, you have to do it. I would say another thing that fits into that category and something that I have much more experience with is the birth of your child. Having a child is something that you do not fully comprehend until you've been through it. No matter how much you prepare, no matter how much you read, no matter how much your friends and your family tell you what it's like, the birth of your first child is something that you don't know. You have no idea until you've been through it, until you've been there. Now, I bring that up because that's the illustration that Jesus uses in his teaching today. Remember, we're in John chapter 16. We've been in chapters 14, 15, and 16. We've been seeing Jesus in the upper room teaching his closest friends, his closest disciples. Remember, Judas has already gone off to betray him, and so just the 11 are left, these people that have been with him day in, day out for 3 years. And so this is his most intimate teaching, and today it's a great passage because you can see a little bit in here the frustration of the disciples in what Jesus is teaching them and trying to get them to understand. So let's look at John chapter 16, verses 16 through 24. It says, a little while, and you will no longer see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. Therefore, some of his disciples said to one another, what is this he tells us? A little while, and you will not see me. Again, a little while, and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father? They said, what is this he is saying? A little while? We don't know what he's talking about. Jesus knew they wanted to question him. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another about what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete." The title of the message today is New Birth into a Living Hope. New birth into a living hope. And there's three things I want to talk about. We're going to follow Jesus' illustration of a woman in labor. And we're going to use that to see what Jesus is teaching us today. So the three things I want to talk about today is the importance of preparation. Jesus clearly wants his disciples to be prepared for what's about to happen. The second thing is the pain of labor. And the final thing is the joy of birth. And my hope is that after we walk through this passage, we'll be prepared for what God has planned for us next. We'll be ready for our next phase of walking with him, next season of what he has for us. So I want to begin by looking at the importance of preparation. In those first few verses, 16, 17, 18, and 19, you can clearly see the frustration that the disciples are having. Jesus tells them, "A little while and you will no longer see me. In a little bit, I'm going to be gone. And then after a while, you'll see me again." Therefore, some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this he tells us? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father," they said, "what is this he's saying? A little while? We don't know what he's talking about." Jesus knew they wanted to question him. So he said to them, "Are you asking one another what I said? A little while and you will not see me. Again, a little while and you will see me." The point of all these chapters, but especially these verses here, is that Jesus is preparing his disciples. He wants them to be prepared for what's about to come. Now, I have to give you a little disclaimer. I'm going to talk a lot about my wife and I and our experience having five children. And I've okayed all this with her first. I made sure that she's read through the sermon. She knows what I'm going to talk about. I can remember... When Stephanie was pregnant with Elizabeth, she came to me one day and said, "I think I want to have a home birth." And I said, "No, we won't be doing that." Well, after a while, she convinced me, and I was already worried about having a baby. So then this idea of a home birth just made it that much more scary for me. And so we found a really good midwife. We went to classes, birthing classes. We got a nursery all set up and painted and prepared. We bought supplies that we would need. We did everything that we could think of to be prepared for this little one to come. To be prepared not just for her to come, but for the trial that comes right before she comes. And we did everything we could to be prepared for that, precisely because birth is difficult. It's not an easy thing. It's not a simple thing. And so we wanted to be prepared. In the passage today, you can clearly see the disciples' anxiety. They are worried, upset, scared. They don't know. They're confused. So Jesus takes time to prepare them for what is to come. And notice that Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't say, "Oh, guys, don't worry about it. It's not going to be that hard. Don't worry about it." No, he says, "This is going to be the hardest thing you've been through. But it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. And you got to trust me on that." What does Jesus mean when he says, "You will see me in a little while"? I'm sure in this instance, he's talking to his disciples about appearing to them after the resurrection. You all know the story. Jesus is crucified, goes to the grave. For 3 days, he's in the grave, and then he rises again, and then he walks and teaches his disciples for 40 days after his resurrection. And so I think when Jesus says that to these 11, he's letting them know, "Hey, it's like 3 days. I'll be gone for 3 days, but I'll be right back, I'll be right back. However, that same truth holds true for us today in the form of the Holy Spirit that he's already talked about. He's talked about sending his Holy Spirit. And it's also true in the second coming of Jesus Christ that we all are anxiously awaiting. So one of the biggest keys to being able to face persecution and trials in this life is to be prepared for them ahead of time, to know that they're coming. So the question then is, how do we prepare? And that's what Jesus teaches us in the next verses. And the illustration he uses is the pain of labor. In verses 20 and 21, Jesus says, "I assure you, you will weep and wail, but the world will rejoice. You will become sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn to joy. When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world." One of the things that makes the incredible pain and difficulty of childbirth possible, able for a woman to endure that, is that she knows long beforehand that it'll be probably the most intense experience she's ever had. Nobody pulls any punches about that. I can remember when Stephanie and I were talking to different people about, you know, what's it like? No one said, "Oh, it's not a big deal." Not a single person said, "Nah, it's not a big deal." We know ahead of time that's going to be a difficult thing. Could you imagine a woman going into labor not knowing she was pregnant? That would be a frightening thing. You'd probably think you were dying with that intense amount of pain. Jesus gives us the same comfort in the passage today. He says, "I tell you the truth." You can bank on this. Remember, that's Jesus's "truly, truly, I say unto you." You can write this down. "I tell you the truth. Don't think that being my follower is going to be a walk in the park. Don't think that being my follower is going to be easy, because it's not. There will be trials. There will be persecution. People will rejoice while you are sorrowful. People will celebrate while you mourn. Don't think it's going to be easy. But also, don't think it's going to last forever. Don't think it's going to last forever." I often joke that there's a promise from Jesus in the Bible that you never see hanging on someone's front door. I've never seen it cross-stitched in a pillow before. But there's a promise from Jesus later in this same chapter, in chapter 16, verse 33. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace." Now, we love that part, but what does he say next? "You will have suffering in this world." That's a promise from Jesus. You will have suffering in this world. Why does he say that? Because he wants us to be prepared. We need to recognize that following Jesus requires great sacrifice. We may be ridiculed. We may be persecuted for our faith. We may have to face intense trials as a follower of Jesus. But we also always have to remember that it's a temporary situation. I want to look at a couple other verses this morning. One comes from Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, beginning in verse 11. He says, "For it is written, 'As I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow to me, and every tongue will give praise to God.' So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." Now, as we think about that, I want to look at one other passage in the book of Philippians, chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, we have the great Christ hymn, the great song about Jesus. And halfway through, beginning in verse 9, it says, "For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." You will have trials, but that's a temporary situation. And that leads us to the last thing, and that's the joy of birth. Jesus makes an incredible statement in verse 21 today of the passage. He says, "When a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because of the joy that a person has been born into the world. So you also have sorrow now, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will rob you of your joy. In that day, you will not ask me anything. I assure you, anything you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked for nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. Jesus says a pretty incredible thing in verse 21. He says, when she gives birth, she no longer remembers the pain. What? Are you serious? I have seen a beautiful truth in that. Stephanie and I, when we first got married and talked about having kids, we never decided how many kids we were going to have. We never said, oh, we're going to have 2 kids or 7 kids or 8 kids. We never decided that. We both came from families of 4, so we figured we'd have a few at least. But what we always talked about, what we always said is that, you know, we wanted to have boys and girls. We really wanted to know what it was like to raise a boy and a girl, to have sons and daughters. And so that was our only conversation. So our first child was born, and she was called Elizabeth. Our second child was born, and her name is Melody. Then the third child, pregnancy came along, and we did that surprise thing. We didn't want to know whether it was a boy or a girl till they were actually in our arms. And so Naomi was born, and the midwife said, oh, it's a girl. 3 in a row. She took Naomi, and she put her in Stephanie's arms, and Stephanie said, now we need to have another one. That incredible joy of holding her daughter, the incredible joy, the thought of bringing another baby into this world, made her forget what happened 30 seconds earlier. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what Jesus is promising here. Such an incredible joy that the suffering we have had to endure for a little while will fade into nothing. We won't even remember it. Verses 23 and 24 today can be a little bit confusing, but here's what Jesus is telling us. He's saying, we won't ask him any more questions. The time will come where we won't be confused or anxious or scared and asking Jesus, what do you mean by this? What do you mean by this? The time will come where you won't ask me anything. You'll know. And then he goes on to say, and all of your needs will be met through the Father in my name. You can ask for anything, anything you need, and it will be taken care of. Ultimately, this is fulfilled for you and I today in the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, previously in his discussion with his disciples, he said, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send him in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have told you. Jesus says, you won't ask me anything. The Spirit will come. And he'll teach you anything you need to know. And he'll remind you and show you what it is I've already taught you. And you can ask the Father, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. You can ask him for anything in my name as my follower. And he'll take care of you. Under the saving work of Jesus Christ and in accordance with his will. This kind of intimacy with God himself will wipe away any pain that we have endured on our way there. When it comes to understanding sorrow turned into joy, there's one ultimate and beautiful example that we can look to, and that example is the cross. We're very used to crosses. I would love to count how many crosses we have around this place. We know crosses, and we love crosses, but we forget 2,000 years ago, the cross was a symbol of ultimate suffering, pain. was a sign of the worst type of tribulation you could ever go through, the most painful thing you could ever endure, to die on a cross. And yet that symbol of pain and suffering and torture has become today the symbol of joy, peace, hope, and salvation. Sorrow turned into joy. That's exactly what God promises us. In the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1, I want to share with you a passage. I have to tell you, hold on, let me find it first, or I'll get lost when I get into my story. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we're going to be. So what I often do during the week is I prepare my message and I try to have it done on Friday night so that I can spend Saturday with my family. I try to make Saturday family day. So that's what I did this week. I got the sermon done on Friday night, and then Saturday we went to Target because the kids had some gift cards that they hadn't spent from Christmas yet, and we went to Sam's Club and did our shopping and just messed around all day as a family. And, you know, I wrapped everything up Friday night, typed up my sermon, sent it off to Patrick so he can get the slides ready for this morning, thought, okay, we're going to talk about, you know, the fact that we got to be prepared, that there's going to be trials in this life, but you can't let that take your eyes off of Christ, because he has promised us that these trials that we're in right now are just going to fade into nothingness, and we'll have a joy that will... So I'm like, sweet, I'm going to take that on Sunday, and I'm going to tell everybody that. And God many times with me goes, well, Shane, let's make sure you know it first. So as I've told you many times, I have a lot going on right now. This week I have planned, I have a seminar I'm in the middle of. I was going to Canyon City to meet with my pastor friend who has cancer. We started work just last week on the new internship program for Colorado Christian University. And yesterday we're driving around doing all of our errands, and then on our way home the transmission went out on our expedition. And I can tell you guys, I would just be completely honest with you guys, I was so anxious and worried and upset and frustrated and all the things you're not supposed to be during trials. That was me last night. But what I've come to realize as I preached my message to myself this morning is that at no point did Jesus promise us that things were going to be easy, that life was going to be a piece of cake. What he promised us is in the end, we will have a joy that you won't remember any of the pain, any of the suffering, any of the persecution or trials or hurts or anything else that you've been through. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9 says, "Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorrupted, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. You are being protected by God's power through faith for a salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. You rejoice in this, though now, for a short time, you've had to struggle in various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, more valuable than gold, which perishes though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You love him, though you have not seen him. And though not seeing him now, you believe in him and rejoice with inexpressible and glorious joy, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." 1 Peter, there we get two beautiful promises. The first is that when we face those trials, they will have a purpose in our life. Every single hurt God will use to refine and purify you. That's what he's doing. And we have the promise that it's only for a little while, and it is accomplishing the goal of our faith. Now, I want to end with one last thing. We have this incredible promise, but that promise is only in Jesus Christ. It does not exist outside of Christ. Outside of Christ, pain is just pain. Outside of Christ, suffering is just suffering. Trials are just trials. Unless they lead you to Christ, it's just pointless hurt and pain and suffering. But in Christ, we have a promise that they are accomplishing in us what he desires, and there will be a day where we don't even remember them. So I say that because if you're here today and you're not in Christ, you don't need to hurt and suffer for no reason. I'll tell you, once you're in Christ, it's not a walk in the park. Guess what? There's going to be trials. But every single one of them will serve to refine you. And there's a joy on the other side that wipes away every tear we've ever had. And so I just, this morning, if you have never given your life to Christ, don't go another day. Don't go another moment. Pretty much can guarantee you this week's going to be hard. Don't go another day without Christ. I want to close by reading to you Psalm 30. Just a beautiful song about everything we've talked about this morning. I will exalt you, Lord, because you have lifted me up and have not allowed my enemies to triumph over me. Lord, my God, I cried to you for help and you healed me. Lord, you brought me up from Sheol. You spared me from among those going down to the pit. Sing to Yahweh, you his faithful ones, and praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may spend the night, but there is joy in the morning. When I was secure, I said, I will never be shaken. Lord, when you showed your favor, you made me stand like a strong mountain. When you hid your face, I was terrified. Lord, I called to you. I sought favor from my Lord. What gain is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your truth? Lord, listen and be gracious to me. Lord, be my helper. You turned my lament into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, so that I may sing to you and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Amen. Stand up with me and we'll close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the incredible love that you have for us. We thank you for the promise that you have given us, that not a single one of our hardships or our trials, not a single one of the persecutions or sorrows that we see is wasted. Every single one of them is used by you for our good. And Father, we thank you for the incredible promise that there will be a day that the sorrows of this world will be such a distant memory that we can't even imagine them anymore. Lord, we thank you for that promise. Thank you that you love us exactly where we're at right now, and you love us too much to leave us there. Thank you that you desire to purify us and grow us. Thank you that our trials are useful to bring us to you. Heavenly Father, I ask that if there are those here today who are facing trials for no purpose and no reason, with no joy in the future, that you would draw them to yourself, that they would see the truth about Jesus Christ, about his perfect life, about his death on the cross that was our death, that we deserved, and his resurrection that promises us resurrection to new life in you. Lord, I ask that you lead them to Jesus, that they would see in Jesus all of their sins are forgiven, and they are a child of the King. And then from today on, every trial they face, every difficulty that lies ahead would have purpose, and there would be joy knowing that on the other side of it is an inexpressible joy, being at home with our Father. Father, be with us this week. We know, as your children, that difficulties lie ahead. We know that there's going to be hard things. Some of them are just life. Some of them will be persecution, will be difficulties precisely because we are followers of you. But Father, I just ask that in each and every one of them, we would look forward to the joy that lies on the other side, and that we would learn the lessons, the purification that you have intended for us through them. Walk with us, teach us, let your Spirit fill us and never leave us. We love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you.